Fan Morning Show. Good morning. Happy Text Line Tuesday. Keep the text coming at 590-590. We've got a couple pinned for our next break where we can chat about it, but we're going to be joined by an insider who's brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Jackie Redman, host of the NHL Network, NHL on TNT, and WWE Network. Busy gal. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Happy to be with you guys. I'm not going to lie. I am like just getting my wits about me as we speak, but I don't know if I've ever been called an insider before.
Oh, you're an insider, girl.
That's a big start to the day.
You get a free Lexus.
Come on. You're best pals with Bruce Boudreau. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys watch wrestling together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that yesterday and I was excited.
My guy, Bruce, what a night. What a night for Bruce last night. I got home from covering WWE at about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And was catching up on everything in hockey when I got home because, you know, when you're watching 3 hours of wrestling, you don't see anything. And the first thing I saw was the Bruce chance. And I was just like, yes, my guy. I don't know if I've ever wanted the Canucks to succeed more than I do now because that guy's behind the bench.
So it was funny that you tweeted out about, oh, you know, Bruce has all these WWE takes, and I didn't know that you guys talked about WWE at all. Is there any, like, secret undercover WWE fans that we need to know of moving forward?
Oh, my gosh. I'm sure if it wasn't so early and I thought about it, I could
you let me know
some,
later.
But Bruce is a big one. Like, I worked with Bruce for months before I discovered the WWE thing, because we started working with him last year and it never came up. And then this year, because I started working for WWE, one day we're sitting there during a commercial break. Like, I had been there for a few weeks already and we're sitting during commercial break and Bruce just looks at me and he's like, so Jackie, wrestling, Lesnar, like, that gives me no context.
That's all he said, Lesnar?
Like, what? You're like, what?
What do you mean? And he's just like, I'm a huge wrestling fan. I, like, jumped out of my chair. I was like, shut the front door. I was like, so, you what, like, oh, you love Hulk Hogan? Like, just assuming that he's talking about
insulting.
He liked it as a kid.
Yeah.
Well, I just assume that because normally that's the way the conversation goes. With people of Bruce's experience on the planet. So, no, he was like, what do you mean? He's like, I watch Raw every week. He's like, huge.
No
I love
way.
Becky Lynch. Isn't she the best? Big time Bex. And I'm just like, oh, my God. Like, do you read the vlogs? Like, you're a huge fan.
Blake is devastated that when we had Bruce all those times that he didn't talk wrestling with him.
I'm asking him about athletic articles that are coming up and stuff. And instead, I should be asking about what's on the dirt sheets. Unbelievable.
He's so funny. He actually, I texted him when I found out about the Vancouver job and I was like, congratulations, like, gonna miss you. He's like, and I told him that I had tweeted out that he was a huge wrestling fan and someone had sent me a photoshopped image of Bruce Boudreau's face on Paul Heyman's body with Lesnar to the side. So I sent him the picture and he's like, that is perfect. He's like, we should do a wrestling show. It's on at 5 o'clock out here. We could make it happen. I was like, you focus on Petey and the Canucks, all right? We don't need to do that. But, he is as legit as they come when it comes to WWE.
That's great. And he can watch Raw and SmackDown on Sportsnet out there, just like you can here. And, Jackie, we can see you on Raw Talk and Talking Smack, which is why you missed the Canucks game last night.
Wait, one second.
Yeah, of course.
Can Ailish and I guess what the dirt sheets are?
I honestly was like, I'm going to Google what a dirt sheet is.
No, did you Google it?
No, I didn't.
What do you think it is? Just like give it a guess.
What was the context you used it in? Like,
I've been asking him about hockey articles when I should have been asking about the dirt sheets.
I would guess the dirt sheet is like maybe the like where the script is going to go in terms of like who's going to win.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to guess too is that the dirt sheet is like that's where the dirt is. It's on the sheets. They go...
That's
they
not
say,
right.
They say, hey, we know all the answers to the what's going to happen.
We like got maybe the commentators got get that sheets. So they know where to go when they're calling the
everybody
match.
Everybody knows like that's the script for the night. Is there? They're like, hey, you want the dirt? They're on the sheets.
No, you know what that's called? That's called the script. The dirt sheets are, you weren't far off with the dirt, but the dirt sheets is what wrestlers refer to wrestling media as, where like it used to be like these magazines would come out and they would have all the inside scoop of like, you know, oh, Hogan's going to go to WCW and this is what he's getting paid and this is how all the politics are working out and stuff, or this is who's booking these days.
I like how you didn't let Jackie explain that, who actually works in the media for WWE.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were asking me. Yeah.
No,
is
I know.
Is he right, Jackie?
No,
it's
perfect this way.
I don't want to put Jackie in a tough spot to be like, oh, yeah, Meltzer can get out of here because she's on the WWE side.
So dirt sheets are bad.
Blake explains it because I don't need like Michael Cole calling me and be like, why are you talking about the dirt sheets on the radio?
That's actually pretty cool that you know Michael Cole, though. That's a good one.
Yeah, he's going to call you. Obviously, he's going to be like, I heard Blake talking about the dirt sheets. Yeah. Vintage Blake.
Yeah, vintage. I love it. So, thanks for coming on this morning early. You've also now you've upset everyone just a little bit because Blake's upset he didn't talk to Bruce Boudreau about wrestling. I'm upset because I love rooting against the Canucks because their fans are so irrational and they just lose their minds. And now, like, he's there and he's such a good guy that he's going to make me root for the Canucks. And that bothers me a little bit. But you can be grounded in the Toronto Maple Leafs right now. Like, you don't have to root for the Canucks' misery as much. You don't need to root for the misery of your opponents as much because the Leafs might be actually good. How are you just feeling in general? Like, let me put it this way. Everybody's trying to talk about how it's different this year. Hey, don't get suckered in. What do you think the biggest difference is from last year to this when it comes to this Leafs team?
Well, I'm going to answer that in two parts. The first thing is I feel exactly how you worded that question in the beginning. That is like the personification of my feelings about the Leafs, because you really hesitated before you said they were good. You're like, the Leafs are kind of maybe, they're good. Like, almost like you didn't want to fully just say it with full confidence. That's kind of how I feel. Like, I think the Leafs are a good hockey team this year, although I felt that way last year. But it does feel different. And I'm afraid to buy into that for myself because I was born and raised a Leaf fan. So, like the rest of Leafs Nation, I'm just used to disappointment. So it's almost like, it's like this defense mechanism where you're like, I'm pretty sure the Leafs are good, but I need everyone around me to verify. Like, we all agree, right? Like, I go to work and I'm like, the Leafs are good. It's not just me. I'm not just delusional, right? I'm constantly looking for validation that the Leafs are actually good. But I do think that they're different this year. And I hate saying it because I feel like I said it last year. I feel like last year I spent a lot of time saying, this is the year. They look good. They're dominating the division. They have a great path to the final. Like, a Canadian team is getting to the Final Four, the conference final, whatever you want to call it, last year in that weird year. Like, it felt like last year was supposed to be like that fateful year for them where it was all going to line up. And then it was wrong. So now this year, I look at the team and I'm like, they seem even better. But I also was on television 6 weeks ago asking my co-hosts if the Leafs are fatally flawed because they started 4-1. Mm-hmm. So like, they're like 15 of 19 or something since then. Mm-hmm. So you're welcome, Leafs Nation. But no, I do think that they're different. And I'm not sure if this has been brought up a lot in Canada, but I do really believe that it's so cliche that you do have to lose before you win. And the Leafs have done a lot of that, this iteration of the Leafs. But I think about last year and I just don't know if it gets worse than that. And I think the conversation we had in the offseason was, are the Leafs broken? Are they going to be broken from this? And right now I'm seeing that I think they were broken from it, but I think that they're healing now. And I don't know, when you go through the actual nightmare of what happened to the Leafs last year, there's something very empowering about knowing that you've hit the bottom because it just can't get worse. And there was no excuse last year for the Leafs. There was no, oh, well, Kadri got suspended and, you know, Boston's a really good team. There was, you know, or the bubble, we hadn't played in months. So, you know, like, you know, it was kind of tough situation to be in against Columbus. Like, there's none of that. Last year, when they blew it to the Montreal Canadiens, when they looked in the mirror the next day and their season was over, they knew that they only had themselves to blame. I mean, they didn't even, like, their Matthews and Marner didn't even score. So I think that going through that, it makes you stronger. And I think that the Leafs are starting to prove that. that maybe, just maybe, they had to go through that. And maybe this is the fateful year for the Leafs, because they had to hit that place and then come back from it and get stronger from it and realize that they, you know, you can say all the right things. I know I'm talking forever right now. And I think the Leafs have said the right things for a long time, but I don't know that they fully understood what they were actually saying about playing the right way and playing for each other and playing tough and supporting each other out there. And now I think that they, because they've gone through that, we're actually seeing that cohesion and that bond on the ice. I think this is probably a really, really, really tight-knit group after what they went through last year. I know there's some new additions, but I say all that to say Boston threw a 3-0, blew a 3-0 series lead to Philly, and then a 3-0 lead in game 7 in, 2010 against the Flyers, and then they went on to win the Cup the next year. I just think that there are examples where teams go through just the absolute worst thing, and then they come back the next year and they're an absolute force. So maybe that's this year for the Leafs.
So number one, I hate that you said talked about in Canada, you know, and reminds me, one, that you're far, but also two, is like, it's just like the American thing to say, you know what you did. Number two. Number two, you know who said that over and over? Kyle Dubas. And so he actually gets to take the big victory lap if this does work out, because that's been his line the entire time. It's like he and Brendan Shanahan keep coming back with, hey, you got to lose to win, or whatever, however it is that you framed it. You learn from losing, whatever other spin that you have. That has been the Leafs spin the entire time. But now I want to ask, literally, I want everybody to answer this question. Like, Jack, you can start with that. Ailish, I really want to know. Just as you were saying that, don't you think it's also just so great that last year with the North Division, it was all about like walking to the conference final and like, hey, could you just win the conference final and get to the Cup? And now, just even from like a player standpoint, a fan base standpoint, it's not about that anymore. It's literally just get out of the first round and then see what happens. And I think that that's like, in a way, that's nice for everyone involved.
Yeah.
You
go first. Sorry, we're both.
No, you go, girl.
You're the insider.
Well, I actually did I did a really bad job because I said I want everyone to weigh in on this,
like,
and I said Jackie,
so...
and then I said Ailish, and so
Jackie,
I was like,
you're
yeah,
up. Yeah. Go get him.
That's on me.
Thanks
Hand
for
up.
The pass.
Hand up.
Sick dish, Ailish. All right. I think it's an interesting point. You're the first person to raise that. It that way to me. I think there could be something to that. You know, there are less expectations. There are, you know, especially coming into the season. Now that they've gone on this tear, though, like, that pressure is going to be right back. Like, you look at Twitter when the Leafs, I mean, they just lost two games, and all I've seen and heard has been like, oh man, Lurk took so much away from those two games. Like, oh boy, the Leafs are tough, man. They're different. They're a different team this year, coming out of a weekend of two losses, which, and I agree with everyone. Like, I'm not upset about the way the Leafs, you know, lost their games over the weekend. I don't really like that they fell behind in them both, but you know, I do think that pressure will come back in real quick and those expectations will rise really fast. I think they already are, but again, not to sound like a broken record, I just think that last year was just so devastating that I just don't know that it's almost like, you know, if you get hurt bad enough in a situation, it's almost like you just can't get hurt anymore. Like, you just don't feel it anymore, and in a way you're stronger because of it, because it just doesn't affect you. Because
this is getting dark. This is really getting dark. You're like telling us about how you're dead inside. That's what you're describing right now.
I'm just saying, like, when something happens to you over and over and over again, eventually you get desensitized to it. And I think last year was so brutal, and the commentary around it was so brutal, especially for a player like Mitch Marner, that maybe he's at the point now where he's just like, F it. Like, it can't get worse. I've taken, like, the biggest beating I'm probably going to take in my entire career. And I just, maybe he's desensitized to that now. That's a big statement, because I know he's a guy that reads Twitter and is very, like, engaged in what people are saying about him, but maybe it took that to get him to snap out of that and just be like, all right, I'm just going to play hockey and get back to enjoying the game. And if that is the case, watch out, because Marner is like the key to me on this team, outside of goaltending, because you always need goaltending. But Marner is like the key to this thing working for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, and he's definitely been missed over the last couple of games. I think we noticed just like his heartbeat of the team and that pulse in terms of what he does all over the ice, the little things. I think we've missed it in the last two games, to say the least. But just to touch on what JD was asking, is there less pressure or less expectations because, you know, last year it was like, oh, you're going to go win the cup.
Yeah.
Yes and no. I think that maybe we just are like, just do something, like get in there and win one game. But if also if they just get in there and win one series, like we're not going to be happy. We're going to be like, that's it. We like, that's all you, we did all that just to win one round. So I think it's tough because Leaf fans also feel like we have no expectations, but at the same time, we have the most expectations. Like, this team has definitely changed from last year, in my perspective already. That core four has been a steady part of this team. Their goaltending is up. They're playing with a little bit of grit. They've gone on a good winning streak. Those are all the things you would want. Like, what are we complaining about? It's all going to come down to the playoffs, and it's hard to feel like there's less pressure when I still at the same time think that like there's even more at this point. So it's hard to say. We're still months away from the playoffs, and obviously they're going to kind of get back down to earth here. They've lost two games. Maybe we're all settling into that, but I just really hope that they can just like, yeah, win one series, but then build on that and make more of a run, right?
I'm such a weather vane that you both just kind of convinced, like, I was like, yeah, there's no pressure. And then you did that. And I was like, oh, you're right. There's the most pressure. I'm so easily
swayed.
Will
you be happy if they win the first round and then lose?
Well,
like, depends to who and how it goes. But, you know, I want more. They're like, we were talking yesterday or the day before. They're the best team in the league.
No, I guess to me.
You know why there's always going to be pressure?
Why?
Because of the cap situation.
Of course.
It doesn't even matter. Like, Leafs fans know, like, this team is in such a pickle with the cap that, like, there's always going to be pressure no matter what.
Yeah.
Sorry. I knew you were going to point that out.
They're in a real pickle. Okay.
I spent too much time with Bruce.
By the way, what do you got?
Oh, no, I was just going to hit you with an incredible segue from they're in a pickle
chips
to spicy dill.
Yeah, I saw it the same.
Yes,
I had the same. We were all feeling that same wavelength.
The word pickle was said, well, and everyone looked at me because, Jackie, we are the two girls in the world that are the most obsessed with chips.
I thought you were going to say that like chips.
That are this obsessed with chips.
Ones.
Like, it's become a conversation point on our show every morning ever since I had those Miss Vicky spicy dill pickle chips. I don't know if they've made their way down to the States.
Yeah,
I need to know if you've had them.
Okay, I haven't because I haven't seen them. So
I will mail them to
home,
you somehow.
If you did that, I would just, that would be so amazing. It would be the best. But I'm gonna look for them when I come back to Canada because I haven't seen them here.
Okay, so there's that one,
yeah,
and now there's a new
them
brand too, another Miss Vicky's, but it's sweet and spicy ketchup.
Ooh, that's interesting. Yes. I will say, and this is a bit of a hot take, like, I like ketchup chips because I like all chips, mm-hmm, but I do think ketchup chips are a little overrated.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, then don't go rushing for this one
ketchup
because they're just good ketchup chips, but the spice of the pickle will honestly change your life. Like, I wish I could go back to the first moment that I tried those. Like, it's like a defining part of my life.
Okay, Ailish, though, you've lived in the States for a long time. Jackie, you're currently living in the States.
It's a different chip world down there.
This is just what I was going to say to you guys. This is my actual, as someone who has recently visited and needed to, you know, you're there with a bunch of guys. You're on a trip. There's a lot of days where you're just like hanging out, doing whatever. You just grab bad food. America, sneaky bad chip country.
Not like even sneaky
like, bad chip.
Gross,
yeah, bad
no
chip
names
country. Like so much. Like you got a billion different kinds of Oreos. We get it. All right. You're doing the like cheap baked goods thing very, very well. Like cured meats. You got that down. But chips. America sucks at chips. There's just not enough. They've got a lot of Doritos. That's good. Everything else, it's like, I'm like, I'm in Maryland. And they got Utz's chips around. I was like, these
Utz
are terrible.
No.
These are awful, awful, awful chips. What's the, like, how do they not have this together?
Like, their Cape Cod chips aren't bad, but like, this falls off. Like,
you
can't go to the grocery store and be like, oh, this looks good. Like, I'm going to try this. Like, don't go for something you've never had. Like, it'll ruin your life.
Yeah.
Especially in Canada, you're just like, you feel like confident in grabbing any bag. So I feel for you, Jackie, because, you know, up here, I'm just like living in the chip mecca.
You are in the chip mecca, and you're like, there's no good.
The chip mecca.
I love it.
The hammer job. I've never felt so validated by a take in my life. Like, I actually have the two people that I would want to talk chips with the most, like, out of the whole world. If they were like, hey, if this was Millionaire and they're like, you got to phone a friend on about this chip question, I'd actually be like, listen, I can't phone a friend because I'd have to call both of these people. And if I choose one over the other, then, like, it's my trouble. Friendship is done with that person. So you can either patch them both in or I'm just going to miss on this question. So that you both have validated this take is just is thrilling me to no
end. Best part of the day.
Yeah, it really is.
I'll take it a step further, too. I would argue, and I won't say any brands because I still, you know, like to get sent chips.
Yeah,
I will even say that some of the bigger brands in the States taste different than they do in Canada because of the different, like, regulations, and not in a good way.
No. So they allow for more garbage. The States has less rules.
You can't rely even on the old staples here in the good U.S. of A. Mm-hmm.
I know. I can visualize which brands you're discussing. We'll take this off air.
I know you know, girl. I know you know.
I'm
going to message you after this to confirm.
They're like more oily or something. They got less crunch. Like,
so good.
I know there's something in the United States, some sort of preservative they're putting in that is not as good.
Yeah. You know that you're eating something that's bad for your body because you can taste the difference.
Exactly.
You're just like, ooh, these have been around for a while. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I guess we got to let you go now, sadly. But we'll talk chips any day.
Can't top that.
We'll have our own chip show one day, all right?
Yeah, we can do chip rankings next time.
Oh, I like that. Instead of March Madness, we'll do Starch Madness, okay?
Love it.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
See you, Jackie.
Thanks.
That Insider was brought to you by Chips. I mean, Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com.
I really like the idea of a segment that's just brought to you by Chips on this show, where it's like, it's not brand specific. It's like how a brand of milk doesn't advertise. It's the dairy farmers Canada
actually.
That get together.
Yeah.
And this one is just like, chips.
Remember when I told you my parents used to give me 3% milk?
Yeah, I do remember that very clearly.
That was the dark ages of the early parts of the show. If you remember that, you're a true listener.
Well, your parents gave you 3% milk. We're going to give the listeners something much, much better than that.
Sure are. Better than 3% milk. How about a pair of tickets to the Maple Leafs December 11th home game against the Chicago Blackhawks? All you have to do is download today's episode of the Fan Morning Show and listen for the special code word that will be placed in the podcast. Once you've located... Stop laughing.
I just picture you eating chips and drinking 3.25% milk as your snacks.
Okay.
And just like,
turn his mic off.
Like, the Chips America is what's not healthy is what I think. It's just not good for you.
With that kind of milk, wouldn't it, like I'm picturing her trying to dip a chip in the milk, but it just comes out like it's dipped because the milk's so thin.
It's not that creamy. Okay, let me finish this read.
Yeah.
If you want to win tickets to see the Maple Leafs on December 11th, you got to download today's episode of the Fan Morning Show, listen for the special code word that's placed in the podcast. Once you find it, text it to 590-590 and you'll be entered for a chance to win. The winner will be selected tomorrow, Wednesday, December 8th. So download the episodes, find a little sneaky code word that's hidden in there, and text us, and you could be going to the Leafs game.
God, imagine if your parents didn't have you on skates the whole time.
It would be like a ball.
Little ball bouncing around.
Like a baby belt.
You're drinking your cream every morning. Oh, so good. Oh, it's the best. It's really the best. I love it. I don't know what to do. I think we should take a break because I had a giggle too hard.
You need to go stop laughing.
Yeah, I know. That was really good. Leafs tickets, get them. And then more text line and some gambling tidbits for this weekend or for today. A whole bunch of stuff. And for the future.
You had a hedge.
Yeah. Honestly, I never do it, so I could actually use this lesson from you.
We do get some texts sometimes that are like, can you explain like what a parlay is? Like, I'm new to betting, so maybe one day we should do a little crash course of like.
I mean, if there are some in there today too. Whenever.
I can find some.
Whenever.
Sounds good. All right, let's take a break. JD needs to walk it off.
Yeah.
I need three.
We'll do whatever that texts. Yeah. Hedges.
Sex and gambling and more fun.
Probably more food talk next on the Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590, The Fan.
Hey, Leaf fans. We're giving you the chance to win tickets to the Maple Leafs Blackhawks game on December 11th. Today's code word is Chicago. Text Chicago to 590-590 for your shot to win.
Good morning. Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590 The Fan. I'm Blake Murphy. She's Ailish Forfar. He's JD Bunkus. Check us out on our socials.
Yeah.
At Ailish Forfar.
Check us out
at
on
JD
our
Bunkus. They both have it nice and straightforward. Same on Twitter and Instagram. Mm-hmm. I'm Blake Murphy, ODC.
Follow us.
And E. Blake Murphy.
Honestly, though,
on Instagram.
I think you just need to say search Blake Murphy.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's fine.
You.
I'm just giving
how many
them
Blake
the letter.
Murphys, I know, I just always say, I'm like, how many Blake Murphys could they get you that confused with?
I mean, enough that I don't have the handle on
right.
Twitter or Instagram. There's another sports writer named Blake Murphy. He covers the Cardinals or something
That's
like
not
that.
Fair.
Hold on. I'm going to Twitter right now. I'm searching Blake Murphy.
There's also a crypto guy named Blake Murphy.
Of course.
Somebody searches his name a lot over here.
No, it's because these people follow me and they'll like at me like, haha, this person sent the wrong thing. Mm.
Okay, so
actually, when you type in Blake Murphy, there's a plastic surgeon in Toronto.
All I have to say is this: when the top results come back, Blake Murphy, which is you, and it says, "Go to the Fan Morning Show
is this
at
on Twitter?
590." Yeah, well, I'm just saying, 6 to 10 a.m. Monday to Friday. Raptors at Sports. Like you have literally every possible. Like I just imagine a person being like, "Okay, there's this guy,
that's that
or
guy.
there's this though." But how about this? This guy bends the knee to you. Blake Allen Murphy, he has the other Blake Murphy sports guy on Twitter.
What?
Revenge of the Birds writer and host of Revenge of the Birds pod, Arizona Cardinals.
The other.
Gets called Blake way more than I like to admit.
Blake is what that is.
And he's
the
verified.
Other Blake Murphy. Yeah. Yes, he's verified. He bends the knee to you.
I had no idea.
Oh,
Send him a message.
Yeah, thank you to Blake Allen Murphy.
From Arizona.
Go Cardinals.
Oh, Blake also, Allen Murphy, thank you
Birds.
For your fealty.
Revenge of the Birds is a great podcast name, too.
Yeah, that's cool.
Revenge of the Nerds.
You're just trying to be nice to this guy who, you know.
Oh, he looks like a sweet guy.
I know, he does.
He's
only got 4,000 followers. Give him a boost.
This is led me down. Oh, yeah. So the guy who just has Blake Murphy as his handle is like a weird crypto guy.
Okay. Who cares?
Yeah.
Does he put the other Blake Murphy? Like this guy, his whole identity is based out of you online.
The person that has at Ailish, which would be sweet, private account, joined in 2007, doesn't have a picture, doesn't have anything, has no tweets, and has 3 followers. Like, give me your handle.
Yeah, see...
I want that.
Can you find Blake? See if you can search him. See if you can find him. Yeah, like this is a real. Oh God.
Where's Waldo? But it's the cover of
Hardy
Waldo,
Boys.
Where it's just Waldo on the front.
I've dated myself today.
Yeah,
being
the Hardy
like,
Boys.
It's Hardy Boys because I couldn't think about like another detective.
Babysitter's Club.
No, I could only think of Harriet the Spy, and I was like, I'm not really sure if that's actually like a detective or a spy or what the difference is.
Well,
now.
I think Harriet the Spy is a spy.
Have you seen Harriet the Spy?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. Do you know who the Hardy Boys
I
are?
I thought Harriet was a spider.
No. Are you thinking of Charlotte's Web?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Harriet the Spider, though, is a book that we should write as a team.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's basically just stealing from Harriet the Spy and Charlotte's Web and combining it into
that
one book.
Good.
Yeah.
Story time with the Fan Morning
Show.
Yeah,
I like this. I like this.
Guys, we got some text that I just got to read out here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fired up.
Dave from Thunder Bay needs to be arrested immediately.
Okay.
Frosted flakes with pure cream.
Ew.
Oh, man.
Dave.
You're already eating sugar for
Straight
breakfast.
Straight to jail. Someone. No.
Yeah, abolish prisons except for that guy.
Moon jail for sure.
Cindy
Moon
from jail. Vaughn.
Vic thinks that guy's making fun of you. I don't think so.
No, he's not. I think he's saying that's what he eats. Frosted flakes.
Why would he be specific? Where's the joke there?
Where did frosted flakes
come
from?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That's Dave from Thunder Bay saying that he's putting himself on blast for having no taste.
So here's what we're doing now. Dave is still going to Moon Jail because either the joke is so bad that he deserves to be in Moon Jail or he like eats Frosted Flakes with straight cream. He's going to Moon Jail. But also we're sending Vic and we're telling him that like he's just like the escort to Moon Jail.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, you're just going up to Moon Jail to take Dave up there, Vic. But then we slam him into the Moon Jail because we're like, you thought that was a joke? You belong in Moon Jail for at least a week for that, Vic.
Coming this season on HBO, Moon Oz.
Yeah. And you're in there for that. Interrupting.
Guys, I think that he's joking about that.
No, you're in Moon Jail.
Okay, Cindy from Vaughn. Oh,
Hi,
this is tough. My mom used to buy us homogenized milk, too, but then water it down to make it last longer. It was do-it-yourself skim milk, and I dare you to taste the difference. Cindy, no!
Crindy.
This is like a combination of all the worst things.
Yeah. And I just, all I ask is don't call it watering it down, because I've done this with like sports drinks before where you mix in a little water, but it sounds way cooler if you say you're cutting it.
Yeah,
you cutting cut it. The homogenized milk.
But it also sounds worse at the same time.
Cindy.
So here, this is it.
Poor girl.
I grew up with skim milk. And
me too.
It sucks.
You guys know how health conscious my mom is.
Yeah, but so they've actually done research on this, and it turns out I have so many stupid, weird, random facts or things
about milk.
Just all kinds of different crap that I pick up every once in a while, and I'm like, where was this stored? And this is just popping out. No, apparently, like, skim milk is not as good for you as like 1% or 2% milk. You end up drinking
3%?
More. No, 3%. That's the tipping point. That's bad. Obviously, that's horrific. No, but 2% is the best milk to just drink on its own. It tastes amazing. And I grew up on skim milk and I didn't really know. And I would just be like, oh, I just drink this. And it's water. Like, that's what it is. So I wouldn't even be surprised with Cindy if all they did was take the 2% milk, pour it in a big vat, and then just dump water. And then they're like, oh, it's actually milk flavored water.
So here's my take on what the best milk is whatever percent chocolate milk is. Mm-hmm. Because it's not just the taste. I also think that's the best consistency of milk.
That's got to be.
But it's got to be one or two.
I'm looking it up.
Chocolate milk?
Chocolate milk.
I haven't had chocolate milk in a long time. Yeah, it's higher than
it's 10%.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Wait,
Blake.
Doesn't make sense.
Wait, hold on. That was wrong.
There's no way it's 10% milk. That's
that was. No. That's
like half and half.
Yeah, chocolate milk.
It's 1%.
Yeah. Oh. It is 1%?
Yes.
That's. No.
So you think 1% is better than 2%, eh?
I mean,
that's pretty crazy.
I don't have all four in front of me right now, but I think because I've been a skim milk guy for most of my life,
just a little bit of a percent is so much of a percent.
2% is a big jung. I can't handle it.
One day we should do a milk taste test where we just pour a bunch of glasses and figure it out.
Here's the thing about that. I've been doing that my whole life, milk taste test. It's just milk. Like, it's milk.
All right.
Like, if you don't know, if you're in your, like, I'm in my 30s now. If you don't know your brand of milk by the time you're just not a milk person. Like, you're just not in.
So we're talking 1%, 2%, 3%.
Yeah.
We're going to pivot into those small percentages at the margins of your bets.
Milk.
Yeah. Just milk. Dairy Farmers of Ontario or Canada or whichever one it is. So we've been doing a little bit of gambling in this block most days. And I've found, and Ailish, you mentioned earlier, we've had some questions in the text line about certain terms or certain approaches because this is new to some people. And I helped a pal of Vic's out last night who had, regrettably, Ailish, a parlay that just needed Patriots +3 to hit. Now, Vic's friend had done, he had broken one of JD's gambling rules to set up this night. But in broad terms, he had a parlay that just needed the Monday Nighter to come through. And he wanted to do what's called a hedge, which is basically, in some sites will let you cash out, but it's not always good value to
cash out.
So what a hedge is you're entering the Monday night game and you need Patriots +3. Mm-hmm. You also bet Bills -3. And what you do is you look at what your Patriots bet is going to pay out and what the Bills bet would need to pay out to make sure that you win no matter what. It's not super common that you'll have one where, like, it's enough to be worth it.
Wasn't this guy getting a big payout, though?
It was. In Vic's friend's case, it was worth it because it was an astronomical payout, and he
astronomical?
Could,
hey, I mean, Vic's friend.
Yeah.
It was an Ailish bet.
Yeah.
Oh, I like those.
Yeah. We'll just say it was a $1 parlay on NFL games, and he was down to one game, and it paid out, like, $27.50 or something like that if the Patriots won.
Oh, God.
It's a big return. So here he wanted to hedge. So what I walked him and Vic through last night is, so what you sit down with is, hey, at that point, it's basically a $1 bet to win $27.50 on the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's a great bet. But if the Bills were to win and cover, it feels like you lost $2,750. Yeah. Even though you didn't really, you just didn't win your bet. It feels that way. Mm-hmm. So what you do is you hedge and you bet on the Bills as well. And
like parlay?
No, on a separate bet.
Oh.
Because you can't add it to the parlay because the parlay is already in process.
So you just, okay.
Right. So what you would have is you'd have this parlay that needs Patriots +3 to hit. And you would also bet on the Bills. And the Bills -3 was actually at +100 last night. So the math on it was very simple. Plus 100 is the easiest line to do math with because it's bet $5, win $5. So what we had him do, and you don't have to do it at these numbers, but to give you the example, is he bet $1,000 on Bills minus three. That way, if the Bills won, he would win $1,000.
I see.
So he'd be up 999 because he loses his $1 parlay, mm-hmm. but he makes $1,000 on the Bills. If the Patriots win, yes, he loses that $1,000 bet on the Bills, but he still makes $2,750 on his parlay hitting, so he's up $1,750. So he went from either making $0 or $2,750 to making either $1,000 or $1,750. So he traded in some of his upside.
I like that.
For a higher floor.
I never bet high enough that that's a problem.
And that's what hedging is. And obviously, this is a little easier to explain with like an Excel chart or something like that or a table.
No, it's not.
I mean, it is just because you can see the different the different iterations. But so that's what hedging is. And cool. If you have a parlay that's waiting on the Monday nighter or the Sunday nighter or something like that, that's something you can explore. And if you ever hear us talking about hedging, that's what we mean. There's an emotional hedge, which is something
that's
we've talked about where
you
bet against your favorite team. That way you win no matter what. My take on that has historically been you lose no matter what. I'm not a huge fan of the emotional hedge.
No, I did. It's called the happiness hedge.
The happiness
hedge. And I did the happiness hedge last night, and I am not happy still.
But there you go.
It did not fill the void, okay? Hedge. Well, I bet when we were on the air last
night. I know, but I was writing you as though you were also poor.
No, I won a little bit of money.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
I was like, poor and sad is no way to live.
No, I'm just sad, but I'm still poor. But yeah, I won Patriots money line.
Yeah.
Which was plus 130 when I bet it yesterday.
Yeah, that's nice.
Lost my Josh Allen touchdown. Lost my Ramondre Stevenson touchdown. Mm-hmm. Lost my Devin Singletary touchdown.
See, this is
lost my over bet. So yeah. I'm still not doing great.
Well, I was just going to say to you that so Ailish has a thing where when we talk about the bets,
I just do it now.
She just does them because she doesn't want to second guess herself later. Here's the only problem with that.
A lot of those things I should not have bet.
Yeah. The second we left our show, it's like you went on social media and they showed gale force winds in Buffalo and the totals dropping like a stone in water.
I teed up the wind for us.
Yeah, but I think it was going to be enough that people's tailgates were floating in the wind like
also,
the Wizard of Oz.
You mentioned it was wind. I think I said
26 miles an hour at kickoff was the expected wind.
Sure.
I don't have the context for it.
Yeah, like who? It's not like you're in. It's like 26 mile per hour. You're in a car. You're like speed up. You know. So it's like the wind. The wind is not. It doesn't sound that daunting when you say 26 miles
like
per hour.
It's like Fahrenheit too. Yeah. Where like I know 100 degree day is
Fahrenheit.
Hot.
Yeah.
But you lived in the U.S. for
a good time. Yeah, it's not easy. It's just is it cold or not?
Well, that's the thing. It's like 100.
You get it? Do you?
Way to get it. 100 degrees is hot. 0 degrees is cold. But anything in between, like 40 to 60, I don't really know.
I love how it was like, I get it though, guys. What are you stupid? You don't understand Fahrenheit? It's if it's cold, it's hot.
Celsius times 2 plus 32 gets you roughly to Fahrenheit.
The amount of text we have right now about milk, like it's just outrageous. Yeah. I will have to get to later.
No,
we're in the gambling block.
Well, we are, but we can gamble on let's set the line at what's the most popular milk. I would say 2% minus 150, 1%. 1% is going to be close. It's going to be like a plus 140, plus 135.
I think the move here is, so to get the lines, we have to establish the percentage likelihood, right? And I think the best way to do that, Ailish, it's been a while since you did a show poll on your Twitter.
Yeah.
So you can go skim 1, 2.
Okay, but
no one's choosing skim, honest to God.
There's some strange answers in here.
Denise and Drumbo is going to pick skim, I'll tell you right now.
You know what this is? This is a safe space for the lunatics with food takes. This is always what happens. It's like you're throwing out an anonymous text and you're like, I like to drink half and half.
Dave from Barry, also straight to prison. Yeah. Goat's milk is the way to go. Little thick and a touch sour.
I got to tell you, this guy, Dave from Barry. Dave lives in a shack. That guy's living the shack life. He's like, you know what's good?
I love thick and sour milk.
You see that goat out back tied to a fence and you're like, he's about to say goat milk, isn't he? This guy is about to offer me some milk from that goat for sure. That is what Dave is doing. So that was pretty obvious.
Two texts about powdered milk being something that they grew up on.
Yeah. Okay. Grew up on is different.
Yes. Like John in Norfolk County.
You guys are old.
Pretty much I drank powdered skim milk till the age of 11. Powdered I get the cream top when depressing. I can find it now. And then Anton from Keswick, I grew up in a powdered milk from the food bank family. You skim milkers need to humble yourselves.
I mean, that one's hard to judge. He's like, oh, listen, it was from the food bank. You're like, I can't make fun of that. Okay. So yeah, I guess.
I've never tried powdered milk though.
Yeah, of course not. No one's willingly, you got to be going to the food bank. Like that's the way, he just outlined the circumstances in which you're drinking powdered milk.
This one's a one for you, Blake. Try Kawartha Dairy Chocolate Milk. It's a 2%. Oh, yeah. It's a game changer.
You don't got to sell me on Kawartha Dairy anything.
Who is this person? I'm not a big,
I don't consume a lot of dairy day to day, but Kawartha, come on.
Yeah, of course. No, this person's like, you guys ever try Oxygen? It's like, it's pretty good. Yeah. It's not bad.
This guy grew up drinking milk right out of the bulk tank at the barn.
I don't know what that means, but like at, that, like guy, the guy, that guy's they 300 milk, pounds.
They milk the cow.
That guy wears
it goes
overalls
into
stretched.
Like the tank. I think he's literally just at the nozzle.
Yeah. So this guy's taking non-pasteurized right to the dome.
That guy wears overalls, no t-shirt. Like he's got nips out in the overalls, 100%.
Guys, we have an insider, Braden from Aurelia. Okay. He works at Natrel, which is
Natrel, sorry, Braden,
which is the company that makes the milk and stuff.
She's like, I went to Dartmouth, but she can't read. It's amazing.
Natrel, whatever. He said 4 liter, 2% milk is the most sold product by 300%.
What is, sorry?
2%.
2%.
2% is the most sold product by 300%. Thanks, Braden.
Listen, I know we joke about how I'm right all the time, but it's true. It's one of those, it's funny because it's true things, you know? Like, it's obvious 2%. Like, who would ever, this 1%? Like, even look at the way you get it.
The color of the bag is less exciting. It's like a weird,
The question I would have here, is it 300% against the field or 300% against the next highest selling?
Yeah, Brian, let us know.
Obviously, it's an overwhelming winner regardless. Mm. It's just like, if we're setting the line,
we got to
know for the implied probability. Speaking of implied probability, can I pivot us off milk?
Yeah, I think we should just do quickly.
I was going to say leaf lines.
I'll keep the milk content coming later.
So we have obviously discussed a lot on this show that the Leafs are hard to bet on because
there's impossible.
Usually not a lot of value. So they are hosting the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight. Mm-hmm. They are minus 275 favorites, which is an implied probability of 73%.
Wow.
There is no such thing, I don't think. I would have to hit up the analytics guys or whatever. I would be shocked if there were many individual games that nudged above 75% odds in hockey. There's just too much randomness. It's too low event to sport. You can get goalied, whatever. Elvis is in net for the Blue Jackets. Ooh. Maybe that sets things for you. That's a really long line to get value on. And what it takes us back to, again, I think, is the only way to bet Leafs is at least to bet them in regulation.
So this is one of those things, though, where I actually like the Leafs tonight, but I don't really see any way that you can bet it and get value. Because even if you bet them on the puck line, which is the spread, right, which is -1.5.
Yeah.
I think it's -125 last I looked at it. But
-110 now.
Yeah, okay. So it's -110, which is a little better. But also, usually when you bet a spread like that in hockey, you're getting plus money always. Here's what I will say, that the Blue Jackets and the Leafs have both been, well, the Leafs have been dominant at home, but the Blue Jackets have been pretty awful on the road. Like, they're averaging more than a goal less per game when they play on the road this season. They're 4-7 there. And man, like Elvis, you said, is in net. On the road this year, he's 1-3 with a goals against of over 4. So
that's a weird. So his numbers on the year are tremendous. Like, he has a .920 save percentage on the season.
1-3, 4.32 goals against when he's on the road.
I would love to dig into that more. And I wonder how much of that is he has had bad games. Oh, I just have it in front of me now. So he's only had a .900 save percentage once in 4 road games. So I also don't really understand why he's basically only playing at home, but maybe it's this. Maybe he's only good at home.
Well, that's it. If you just look at the numbers of the way that Jack Campbell, who is the opposite end of the spectrum, Jack at home is under 2 goals against. Elvis on the road is bad. This is one where I would be led to believe that after coming off of 2 losses, that the Leafs are at least going to be up a goal and they're going to pot an empty netter. And so the play for me, if you are going to do it, is the Leafs on the puck line, the spread line, whatever you want to call it, and bet them minus 125. I'm not touching the total in this one, again, because I just do feel as though this is one of those games where the Leafs could end up scoring a ton of goals.
The over-under, by the way, is six flat, and with a little extra juice on the over.
That's it.
Is minus 105.
I was going to say that the books have been really correcting on Leafs games. It used to be that you could never find a Leafs game under 6.5, and buying the over was always the play before last season. Even in last season, it was a lot of overs. This year has been the opposite, where it's like everybody's gotten wise to it. The Leafs are an under team. The goaltending is good. The defense is good. Like everything is solid. They've been low event. Now with the way the Leafs power play is going, where it's completely red hot, I assume Marner's coming back in this game.
We haven't heard.
Yeah, no, yeah,
there's no update. There's no Spezza update.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I can't believe we haven't gotten the Spezza update yet.
Yeah, the Spezza update. What are we waiting for?
I like that the reporting also was like he was offered an in-person hearing as if he can just like decline it and like, oh, can't suspend me if I don't come to the hearing.
Here's the thing, though. Didn't he decline it? Why would he go? Why would he travel to it? Where is the hearing? That's what I would always want to know, because it's like, hey, we offer you one, you can have it, but yeah, decline it and do the Zoom. Like, does it change anything? Imagine how stupid and petty that would be. Hey, you can have an in-person hearing. If you don't take it, though, then could be worse for you.
If we're talking player props for tonight, I don't think there's any former Leafs on Columbus that I can think of at the top of my head, but Max Domi, I feel like could have a night here with his Toronto ties and his dad ties.
You just love betting against the Leafs.
Well, I just like for him to get a goal, maybe. Yeah. Like, I don't want him to light it up and get five.
He's plus 320 to score anytime.
I could see that. And he was injured a little bit a while ago, but he got a point last game, an assist. Great. Cool.
Just as
I don't watch
up,
his games much, but I could see something there.
I don't know if this is a protect against him playing or what, but Marner's not on any of the props. So I don't know if that's a we're betting he's out or we just don't have a line for it kind of thing. So I don't know. We'll
one person that's on Columbus that I saw play in Latvia who was honestly unreal was Gregory Hoffman, the Swiss kid. And I don't know what he's done this year, but I remember watching him live in Latvia and being like, this guy's going to get an NHL contract. He wasn't on a team. He comes back. He gets a deal with Columbus because of his world championship performance in Latvia. I like that kid a lot. Mm. Not saying that I'm going to put money on him, but just someone to watch tonight and see if he stands out.
I mean, he's plus 800 to score any time.
Sure. If he does now, I'm an oracle.
Yeah. Cousin Greg. Let's see what you got. He's got 6 points in 20 games this year, 2 goals.
Yeah, I'm just saying I saw him play in Latvia, and I thought he was super impressive, and then I'm really glad that he got an NHL contract out of like the World Championships, this guy from Switzerland. Just to see how he does tonight, if he's in the lineup.
I feel like Boone Jenner's is always good against
the Leafs. Anyone named Boone.
So if I was doing a points prop, I'd probably look at him, because he just seems to be this dude that's like always bringing it against Toronto. But yeah, I think that to me, most of this play is a stay away. You cannot add the Leafs on the straight money line bet. Like, you either have to bet them the -1.5, you have to bet them regulation, or what you do is you happiness hedge. And I don't think that Columbus is going to beat Toronto tonight, but again, those odds, like plus 357?
Something like that.
That's what I saw it at earlier.
Whatever it turns out to, it's 73%.
It was so stupid high. Yeah. When I looked at it, it's all the way down. So it's corrected a little bit. Right now,
275?
I see it plus, but still, those are really, really good odds for a hockey game. It's kind of like, this is usually one of the things I will do in baseball. It's the same thing as if you find the really public teams in baseball, it's a similar thing. What's up?
A little bit of breaking news. Kipper tweeted out that sounding like Marner could be out of the Leafs lineup longer than expected. More on this developing story.
Boom, 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 boom. On Real Kipper and Bourne.
Yeah.
Later today.
That's later today. So why don't you tell us now? Get Kipper on the phone. Break the news.
No, we can't get Kipper on the phone because we got to talk a little more Bills.
I think we could probably skip that.
Yeah, kick Nate out of here.
And Spezza's hearings at 1 p.m.
There
on
we go.
Zoom.
Thank you to Daniele for dropping us in there. So 1 p.m. Zoom meeting for Jason Spezza.